Lesson 1. Basic Hip.
Welcome to The Jazz Session, the weekly jazz interview show. I'm Jason Crane. The Jazz Session is available at thejazzsession.com and also in iTunes. This week's guest is drummer Mike Melito. His new album is called In the Tradition, and it begins with a Sonny Clark tune called Junka. My guest is Mike Melito. His new CD is called In the Tradition, and Mike, it's a pleasure to have you on the Jazz Session. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Jason.
So, this album, I think, is a fantastic record, first of all, and part of the thing that makes it so much fun to listen to is the care with which you've chosen the people who play with you. Can we start off a little bit and talk about the guys who are on the record with you?
Sure. Well, on tenor saxophone, we have the great Grant Stewart, who's on all my records. He's been in New York for many years, and is one of the guys now, which is great. And on trumpet, there's a trumpet player from Philadelphia named John Swanna. John's got a lot of crisscrosses out under his own name and is a sideman. And then two guys from Rochester here, Paul Hoffman on piano and Bob Schneider on guitar. Two guys I work with regularly, some of my favorite guys, and the bass player is the great Neil Minor, who's currently he tours with Jane Monheit.
Yeah, it's a really impressive cast, and you mentioned that Grant Stewart's been on every one of your records. If I'm right, this is your fourth record as a leader, is that right?
Correct.
And why is it that Grant appears on each one of those? What is it about Grant's playing that keeps you bringing him back?
He's a pretty rare musician nowadays, in my opinion, because, you know, especially with the saxophone, because, you know, the guy never takes a bad solo. I mean, you could take, like, you could play, like, the same take or the same tune and do a four or five takes of them, and they're going to be different. And he's just got that sound, and he's just got the spirit I don't really hear in anybody else. So he's really my favorite by, you know, on saxophone player. So
you mentioned when you were talking about Bob Schneider and Paul Hoffman that they're from Rochester, which is where you're based as well. And in fact, let's talk a little bit about you and your history. You certainly come from a family that appreciates good music and plays good music. Will you talk a little bit about your upbringing and your musical relatives?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, my father is a trumpet player. He's the one that pretty much had jazz on when I was born. You know, he's loved it all his whole life. So I was kind of exposed to music, you know, just from birth. So I remember pretty much like buying my first jazz record at 11 years old. It was a Charlie Parker record. And I bought it because my older brothers, my brother Tom's a drummer, and my brother Chris is a trumpet player, talked about Charlie Parker a lot. So I said, I better check this guy out. And so I checked him out, and I was hooked. My brother Tom has been a big influence on me because he's 10 years older than I am, and he really helped me. Yeah, really helped me with everything with playing jazz, you know. And it was weird because he really wasn't home a lot after he went to college. After like I was about 17, he was pretty much gone. But I learned a lot from him because he'd come back and he'd hear me play, and he'd he'd offer some advice, or I'd go to New York, and he'd be really good with letting me sit in. My brother Chris, the trumpet player, was great because he's 6 years older, and he used to really kind of hit me out to Blue Mitchell and Bill Evans when I was early, you know, when I was younger, and I really got into those guys. And so those guys were kind of a good springboard for me to really get into the music, and very helpful with my development.
What was the city of Rochester like as a place to grow up for a young musician? Did you have opportunities to play and to study?
You know, yeah, I studied with a really great percussionist by the name of John McNeil, who's a percussionist in the RPO here.
Which is the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra.
Yes, the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. Yeah, and my first gigs, I played my very first gig at 16 years old with vibraphonist Joe Locke, who was from here. From there, what happened was Joe Romano, the saxophone player, used to play with Buddy Rich's band, was also from here, was in the audience that night and heard me play, and he hired me for a series of gigs right after that. So, and then Joe hired me for a couple other things after that before he left for New York. So it was kind of, for me, it was great because there was enough of a scene here to where I could play. And playing with those guys was great because they're both phenomenal players. And I was nervous at 16. I was pretty nervous, but it was a lot of fun, and I learned a whole lot. And from there, we just once those guys left town, we just tried to just keep on, you know, going with like just some guys around here, and also started leading some of my own groups, and I started playing around upstate New York. I worked with a great saxophone player by the name of J.R. Monteros and a great trumpet player, Sal Amico, who were based up in Utica, Rome area. And so I worked with those guys. And Joe Magnarelli, too, the trumpet player, was from Syracuse. I worked with him a lot in Syracuse. So then from there, just work kind of snowballed for me, you know.
And, you know, you've chosen, in the interest of full disclosure, we've known each other for years, and we've talked many times in other radio formats, and I know that you've chosen to, you know, to make your home and to make your musical stand in Rochester, which seems to have worked out really well for you. I mean, when you look at the list of the people that you've played with, it reads like a who's who of the people who are, you know, around in jazz these days, and you've really done 90% of that while based in Rochester. How have you managed that? How did you manage to make a career in music while playing in a city in upstate New York?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Pretty much, you know, I think, like, I did my first recording in, like, 1997, but before that, I think I played my first gig in 1993 in New York, so I just started to make some contacts over the years, and what happened was, like, it was good that I would be able to bring a lot of these guys here. Like, I brought Grant Stewart here. He's played here a bunch of times. You know, Joe Magnarelli comes from New York sometimes to play with us. And the thing is, the great thing, probably one of the coolest things that happened with me was when in 1994, Chuck Mangione, trumpet player, hired me to play with James Moody for 2 weeks, like every night. So that was a great thing because I got to meet, again, it was a festival he was kind of throwing, and he hired a bunch of people, and it was like Nat Adderley played. So I played opposite Nat Adderley, Roy McCurdy. So I got to know Roy, even though he's from Rochester, I didn't know him until then. So I just started to make all these connections through the history of just playing with some of these guys. And then from there, I was lucky enough to back some other people who came through town. And then when the Rochester International Jazz Festival started, John Nugent was kind enough to hire me for a lot of things. Everybody that came through town that needed a drummer, he would help. He would put me to work, which was great. So I got to play with Benny Golson and John, and you know, I played with James Moody again. You know, I'm trying to think of, there's been a lot of others, but you know, that's pretty much it though, you know. And so it's just kind of, and then the job that I currently hold down, which is at the Strathallan Hotel in here in downtown Rochester with Bob Schneider, we bring in a lot of guests. And so I've been able to play with a lot of guys like Vincent Herring and Peter Bernstein, Harry Allen.
Jerry Nywood was there, right? Is that right?
Jerry Nywood, Pat LaBarbera, countless others. Rachel Z, actually, Rachel Kane. Who else has been here? Just a lot of people. So Jim Rotundi. It's funny because sometimes people would come up and they'd know about me just from like playing with those guys. So, you know, it's pretty much just, I base myself here because, I really enjoy Rochester, living here. It's a great place. You can get to everything in 20 minutes. The other thing is I have a really nice home here with my wife, and my dad's here, which is good. And also it's great because there's some really core select few guys here that I think can play with anybody and play with anybody in the world. I mean, it's really, it's amazing the response from a lot of guys that come up and play with us, how everybody plays, how the guys play up here, you know. So I'm lucky. I'm very lucky.
This new record in the tradition has a very classic sound, and knowing you, I know that's not an accident. Can you talk a little bit about kind of your approach to drumming and then what you were looking for on this record?
For me, I've always been, like you were saying, I've always been a bebopper, so to speak. I've always loved hard bop and bebop, and the best way to describe it is I've worked hard at trying to get the history of all the greatest drummers that I love in my playing. And, you know, that's just a lot of work of just trying to, I mean, I guess trying to sound like them at first, the imitation process. But then you kind of start breaking away from it and you start to try to, you know, just expand on your own, on what they did and try to just make it your own. And I think that that's really, for me, that's my whole goal, is not to try to sound like anybody but me. And, you know, I'd love to have people just in two bars say, that's Mike Melito, you know. I always usually on my records pick like a lot of lesser known tunes, and for this record's no different. And And it's good because it hopefully one of the best things I've compliments I've ever gotten, I think, is that through some of my records, one of the great things is that people tend to go, you know, find the original recording of maybe one of the tunes I recorded. And they might not even have, so obviously they've never heard the tune before, so if they go and listen to like a Hank Mobley tune that I've recorded, and they go check out Hank Mobley, and then, oh, wow, Hank Mobley. And then they kind of get turned on to Hank Mobley.
Well, one of my favorite moments on this record is actually one of the originals. It's Neil Minor's tune Shades of Blue, which is written over the chord changes to How Deep is the Ocean, right?
I think. Right.
Yeah. And it just has that like great kind of laid back, you know, dragging your butt along the floor kind of loping swing to it that I really love. And I think it gets to me to one of the things that I've always liked about you as a drummer, which is that you're able to propel a band forward without having to suck up all the air in the room. And it strikes me that you kind of really understand your role, when to move forward, when to be in the background as a drummer. Is that something that you've really had to work on to kind of find your place in any group setting and figure out how to lead from the drum set without overbearing everyone?
Yeah, you know, it definitely takes a long time to get that together. I think, you know, for me, I've always... Since I was really learned a lot of jazz, how to play this stuff really on the bandstand, and a lot of just on my own was, you know, because really after 11th grade, that was my last drum lesson, really formally, you know. I mean, it was just like then just kind of hanging out with people and talking. But, yeah, I think for me, I've always, the thing that really helped me a lot was just being able to be exposed to all the greatest drummers. In my house, like, my father would play all these, you know, Art Blakey recordings, Papa Joe Jones recordings, Philly Joe Jones, Maury Haynes, Max Roach. And the one thing I always noticed that stood out on each of those guys, I should say, is the way that the cymbal beat. You know, they all tended to kind of guide the band through not really playing a ton, but when they played, it was what every note meant something. And so since every note meant something, It just created this excitement that, you know, a clarity about that it gave each band they played with, and that's something that really always struck me, because I think a lot of drummers and a lot of musicians nowadays, or when you're younger, I should say, tend to overplay, because I noticed that with a lot of even some of my students. You know, I always try to tell them to not to even deal with anything but just bang a ding on the ride cymbal for a while to try to get them to get their feel and time together. And for me, that's just kind of, I came through just the process of, you know, not just keep time, but just try to be more, try to make that your base, and then try to just have enough of the tools together on the drums and what you could do to be able to respond to what's going on musically at the moment, you know, and that's what I love about jazz. But for me, I just think that I hear the music more from an inside perspective than a kind of an outside perspective. But I think all the greatest drummers had that. Elvin Jones and guys like that. Elvin Jones, I mean, the first and foremost thing they could do was swing, you know. I mean, Roy Haynes, I mean, even, I think a lot of these guys get misunderstood, you know. So basically, it's just in listening to all the stuff that they had done on the recordings and just saying, wow, man, they really, just every, they knew how to, their instincts were so far, advanced, and they just could, their reaction time was very fast, that they created a lot of excitement without having to really play a lot. And then when they did play a lot, they knew how to make it fit with the band to where it didn't really overkill the group and kill the band, you know.
You've been playing since you were a kid, and, you know, in so many settings, so many thousands of gigs. What is it that, is this still exciting for you? What is it that makes it exciting for you, if it still is, which I imagine it is?
Oh, man, I love it. I consider myself one of the luckiest guys in the world. I've told you that many times. You know, the thing is, for me, it's just, I never, jazz, you could play the same tune with, you know, night after night, and it's going to be different. You know, it's funny because Bill Dobbins, who's a piano player who I work with a lot here every week, we've talked about this a lot. You know, he says, you know, jazz, the great thing about jazz is that, you know, we can get up and we can play the same tune three nights in a row and it's going to be different, even if we're not really trying to be different. So jazz music to me is always about, you know, trying to expand and trying to be able to just play in the moment. And I think the playing in the moment for me is the thing that really makes it really exciting. Because, you know, when you go up there, you don't know what's really going to happen. Even if you're playing in a bebop, hard bop, kind of a more, what's the word I'm looking for? I hate to say restrained style, but it's not like you're playing avant-garde music, you know.
Sure.
Where it's totally free for all. But with even just playing within parameters of playing straight-ahead jazz, it's always going to be different, you know. So I think the conversational aspect of the music is very important in any style of jazz you play, you know, and whether I think a lot of people just think the music starts to get more creative when it gets outer, but for me, I don't think it's more creative. I just think it's just a different way of creating, you know.
Well, my guest is Mike Melito. His new CD is In the Tradition. You can find out more at mikemelito.com. And, of course, there'll be links to his sites and all of the good stuff you need to know at thejazzsession.com. Mike, I'm not sure what number interview this is between the two of us, but as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you and wish you all the best. And thanks so much for coming on The Jazz Session.
Well, thanks for having me, Jason. It's great. I always listen to The Jazz Session online. I love it.
Thanks,
man.
And
we miss you here.
Thank you very much. That's drummer Mike Melito from his new album, In the Tradition. You've been listening to The Jazz Session, the weekly jazz interview show. I'm Jason Crane. The Jazz Session is available for free in the iTunes that the kids seem to like, and also at thejazzsession.com, where you'll find written interviews, live jazz news, and lots of jazz links.
You can also click on Show Archive to find links to every episode of The Jazz Session, all the way back to show number one with Grant Stewart, who also appears on the Mike Melito record we were just talking about. The Jazz Session has an email mailing list, which is a great way to win free music. That is the primary method by which I give out free CDs. So if you want to win free stuff from The Jazz Session, I would recommend signing up for the mailing list, which you can do at thejazzsession.com. Simple, free, no spam, and the occasional free CDs. For more interviews and reviews, surf on over. Do people still say surf on over? To allaboutjazz.com, the world's largest jazz website. You'll find my work there, beside that of many other jazz writers, reviewers, and fans. The theme music for this show is by my good friends in the Respect Sextet. They've got a brand new album called Serious Respect. Find out more online at respectsextet.com. Do it now. Thank you. Thanks also to Dave Rabel, who designed the lovely Jazz Session logo. Most importantly, though, as always, thank you for listening and for telling a friend about the Jazz Session. Word of mouth is great advertising, and in fact, the only kind of advertising I can afford. So if you don't tell anybody, it's just going to be you and me. I hope that you will support live jazz with your wallet whenever and wherever you can, and then come on back next time for another conversation about jazz right here on the Jazz Session.
Thank you for listening. Bye.